Hello, I'm Damien Wilde, and I'm here with Deborah Cadman, the newish chief executive of the West Midlands Combined Authority. Under Mayor Andy Street, the region begins 2018 with a real spring in its step. Home of the UK's most investable city, according to the ULI, the City of Culture in 2021 and the Commonwealth Games in 2022, awards and accolades are coming thick and fast. Street is pushing hard for other prizes too, greater powers and the relocation of totemic businesses from London to the region. But there are challenges too, funding, competing priorities and ensuring that maximum bang from the buck of an £8 billion 30-year investment programme is achieved. Deborah, welcome. 4 months into a role that you described as irresistible. Is it as exciting as you'd hoped?
More exciting than I ever hoped and ever thought, actually, Damien. Yeah, it's really great.
Okay. And what have those 4 months delivered for you personally and in the role?
It's been a really exciting journey so far, but it's the start of an intense journey that will continue for many years. But the first 4 months have enabled me to pull together quite a phenomenal team of top flight people who are all focused on doing the right thing. So I'm really blessed and challenged in equal measure on having some really great people that are focused on delivering a good skills offer, transport, housing and regeneration, and starting to look at ways in which the growth that we create in the West Midlands is the right kind of growth. So that's around being very clear about inclusivity and local people being able to touch, taste and feel the benefits. So I've been blessed in creating a really good team. I would argue there's maybe not enough wiring at the moment, although the contribution from the private sector has been absolutely phenomenal, and we're capturing that and trying to get more capability from the private sector to work alongside with us. And they're really keen, so that's good. The first 4 months have also brought a really dynamic and exciting devolution deal with the government, but it's also opened up our ability to reset that relationship with central government and be very clear about what the motivation is and what the ambition is for UK PLC as well as the region. So I don't want to fall into that rhythm of episodic negotiations. I do want to create a sensible relationship with government where we can both co-produce growth for the West Midlands and UK PLC. So it's been a good 4 months.
Okay, we'll come back to some of those specific growth ambitions and some of the people that you talk about as well and the team that you've put together. But it's a region that you know well personally.
Yeah, I am a Brummie. Sound like AA Anonymous, but I am a Brummie. I left at 18 to go to university and work elsewhere. But my heart is in Birmingham. I'm Birmingham City's football club supporter, which brings trials and tribulations in equal measure.
Not afraid to comment on changes of manager on Twitter, even.
No, I'm not. No, I am not. I'm very passionate about football. Yeah, can be a bit leery when I go and watch them. But yeah, it's good. And I've lived all around the country, and I really do understand the power of football in a place, really, and that's important. But more seriously, being a Brummie and looking at how the city and the region has changed over the past 25 years or so has been quite phenomenal and really, really exciting. And my view is that the people of the region deserve no less. And it really does feel that it's their time, and it's really, really exciting, and I'm very proud to be part of that change.
Okay, actually, the power of sport is interesting. I remember talking to Albert Bohr, probably at MIPIM a few years ago, and he said one of our problems is that our most successful sports team doesn't even have Birmingham in its title, Warwickshire. So you do need sporting success to help deliver, don't you?
Yeah, you do, which is why we are so excited about the Commonwealth Games in 2022, in addition to the City of Culture in Coventry. I mean, that whole sports and culture dynamic of the economy is really, really important to us. And it's important for a number of reasons. One is that I think it does promote economic growth. And, the billions of GVA uplift as a result of that will just be phenomenal. But it also provides us with an opportunity to deliver very, very clearly for the people of the West Midlands. And that's one of the offshoots of the Commonwealth Games and City of Culture that we're very, very clear about. So it's not just an episodic event. Actually, it's something that helps us grow the economy in the lead up to 2021 and 22, but more importantly after that, so people can still feel the benefit of those two major events in the region.
Okay, and particularly with the Commonwealth Games, there's risk attached there as well. It's an expensive thing to stage a major sporting event. I'm sure you've done the maths, but how do you ensure that you overcome those risks?
It's about working with the Commonwealth Games Federation and the government, but it's also about working with the private sector. It's about being very clear about the opportunities that something like the Commonwealth Games gives you. So our infrastructure investment is very much targeted around that area of the region where we want to see the games happen. So it gives us huge opportunities as well. But the real challenge for us is making sure that the council taxpayer, you know, the residents aren't left with a massive bill. So part of our work is being very, very clear about seeking private sector support, central government support. And you know, 2022 will be an opportunity for the UK to really present the country to the world, you know, post-Brexit. I think it's a massive opportunity that we're really, really excited about being able to present.
Okay, the power of sport and culture. One of Andy Street's New Year tweets, he's an enthusiastic tweeter, he said, now Birmingham CG 22 and Coventry 2021 are in the bag. Securing a relocation of Channel 4 would not only complete a hat-trick of high-profile prizes, but send a powerful message to the world about our region's economic success. So all of these things need to be a package, don't they? It can't just be sport. It needs to be businesses relocating as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, our relationship with HSBC, for example, is a really, really strong one. And, you know, we want to work with HSBC to see how we can make the money that we have, that £8 billion gain share pot. We want to make sure that that turns into £16 billion, you know, and HSBC are going to work with us to see how we can achieve that. So it's not just attracting businesses into the region. It's when they are in the region, it's about working with them in a completely different way. And what I would say about the package is that there is a real rhythm now of success and delivery in the region that we need to capitalise on and continuously promote. And, you know, we talk about the West Midlands having a bit of swagger, and that's not about arrogance, but it is about real confidence in what the region is and what it can deliver for its residents, but more importantly for UK PLC as well. So we're really confident about that. And why wouldn't Channel 4 want to relocate to the West Midlands?
Okay, financial services businesses are important. Deutsche Bank, HSBC, as you mentioned. But there's something about digital and creative businesses at the moment. Everyone wants them. So there's competition. There's perhaps a desire in part, Channel 4, to stay in London. There's competition with other cities seeking to draw it to their location. So will you win the right to be home to Channel 4, do you think?
Yes. I'm really confident about that. Okay. Yeah. I mean,
and what's that elevator pitch that is going to persuade them, or you know, will have persuaded them?
So the elevator pitch is high speed two major interchanges, which means that the heart of the region will be accessible to London within, I think it's 40 minutes, 45 minutes of really fast trains. I mean, that is quite phenomenal. And you know, talking to one of your colleagues this morning, you know, it's taken them the same amount of time to travel a few miles in London. You know, so that elevator pitch is fantastic, but it's not just about the connectivity, because the investment we're making in travel infrastructure is quite phenomenal. So people can get in, out and around the region much more easily. But it's about the cost of business land. It's really competitive. I know that London is overheating at the moment and investors are looking for elsewhere to invest. And Birmingham and the West Midlands has got to be the next place for significant investment. We're attracting the most amazing companies. We're home to some of the global R&D around autonomous engines and electric engines. And, you know, there is a sense that if you're a high-tech digital company, actually that supply chain is already being generated. We've got the youngest, most diverse workforce in outside London. You know, people who are a lot younger than I, who are really comfortable and passionate about digital and wanting to use that to promote and develop their businesses. So people are hungry for that sector to kind of grow and develop in the West Midlands.
Okay, and the mayor believes it could deliver as much for the economy as £32.4 billion. I mean, if achieved, that would presumably be the single most transformational thing for the city and perhaps the region.
I think it's one of the most transformational things. You know, I think, of course, digital is going to be really significant because it impacts on everything else that we do. But it can't just be the sector that grows in the West Midlands. It's got to be hand in hand with everything else. So when I mentioned the R&D around autonomous vehicles, when I talked about culture, you know, all of that, it has got to be based in digital. And equally, we've got to look at the way digital helps the public sector generally deliver its services. So there are massive opportunities, not just about business growth, but also using digital to make the lives of residents better, which is what we're about.
Okay, so some things have been delivered since the WMCA was established in 2016. Two devolution deals, as you mentioned, a long-term transport plan, brownfield remediation fund, some particular areas of housing growth, and an investment in Coventry as well. What's next on the list of priorities? What will we be talking about as having been delivered in, say, 3 years' time?
So you will see significant housing growth and remediation of brownfield sites across the region. We are committed to delivering 215,000 homes by 2031. And that's a challenge, but it's a challenge that we're really up for, and we're working closely with government now, negotiating a new housing deal and working with Homes England, because it's got to be done in kind of partnership, because we all want the same thing, and it's part of my job to provide the glue and make all the different elements of this kind of stack up to something that the residents of the West Midlands can benefit from. So in 3 years' time, you'll see the physical nature of the place looking different. But the way in which we want to do it, you know, we're very clear about the way in which we want to do it. So, you know, I talk about, you know, it's not just building houses, it's creating real communities for people. It's not just remediating brownfield land, it's bringing places back into use after they've been laying dormant for a long time. It's about reducing and challenging the marginal viability of places so that investors see it as an attractive proposition to invest in. And it's about pulling together those investment propositions in a really compelling way, which makes it impossible for investors to refuse to invest. Why wouldn't they?
And there's evidence of success over those 4 months of investors being unable to refuse.
There is, and it's a really good place to be. And again, I talk about the rhythm and the momentum of our offer, and we're really trying to capitalise on that. But it can't just be the West Midlands Combined Authority that does that. You know, we've got partners who want to be on that journey with us and who are helping us create that really compelling offer for investors, not just domestic investors, but global investors as well. And it's really great and exciting to see and feel.
Okay, a moment ago you referred to your role as being the glue. Is that it? Because your influence outweighs your powers.
If only it were that easy. So the role of the combined authority is around stitching everything together, but actually it's about taking that leadership role. So alongside Andy, with the mayor, our job is about making the conditions right for investment, but it's also about keeping us true as well. And what I mean by that is that it can't just be growth at any cost. So, you know, one of the not conditions that we're putting on investors, but we are very clear about, you know, if you want to come and join us on this phenomenal journey, if you want to make a contribution, if you want to benefit from investing in the West Midlands, it's got to be done in the right way. So you can't just come and build and then leave. You know, you've got to have a conversation with us about what it means for the community. And we're very, very clear about that. So our offer to them is that we will provide them with good, highly skilled people. So our skills offer is going to be quite phenomenal. We'll provide them with the right infrastructure. We will work with them to negotiate with utilities companies to make sure that the power supply is there. And we will work with them to make sure that the planning arrangements are as smooth as possible. So we've got quite a compelling offer to make it attractive for them. But actually, they've got to contribute more than just coming and building and getting a profit and leaving.
That, I mean, that will be music to the ears of many investors, particularly on planning and smoothing out the planning process. How do you do that?
It's about working with the planning authorities, and we're spending a lot of time developing that spatial plan. So we're spending a lot of time saying what are the opportunities across the region, and how can we capitalise and identify those, but making sure that the whole region benefits. So we can't just focus on one particular area and say, right, that's where all the investment's going, because that's never going to achieve that regional uplift that we need to see. But it is about generating trust and commitment from those planning authorities so they understand the benefits of working in a different way. And it is about us working with them to make sure that planning decisions those that are making the decisions have the right information at the right time and are therefore supported in making those decisions in a timely way.
Okay, and the team behind you referred to earlier, 215,000 homes to be delivered. You've recruited Gareth Bradford, Whitehall civil servant, very involved in housing. What's his role going to be?
Gareth's role will essentially be about delivering 215,000 houses. But it won't just be about Gareth, you know. So the offer is more than just building houses. The offer is around, sustainable and cohesive communities. So it's got to be around the skills. It's got to be about creating jobs. It's got to be about the public services developing and working in conjunction with the private sector investment to create that sense of community as well. So the team is a phenomenal team that will all work together. So it's not just a silo episodic intervention. It is about that whole package. But Gareth's job is about exploiting his relationships, exploiting his experience, and bringing that to bear in a very different way, working at a local level with the leaders of the combined authority, with the leaders of those metropolitan authorities that make up the combined authority, to ensure that that compelling vision is a vision that they can continue to buy into.
Okay, and when the combined authority was formed and in the months and years that led up to that, there wasn't an easy relationship there between some of those authorities and some of those leaders. And again, your role as the glue between them and the glue with central government as well. There must be tensions along the way.
Yeah, of course there are. And you know, 4 months ago I was chief exec of a local authority, so I'm of that world. And I kind of get the challenges that working in a local political environment brings, and hopefully that experience and the way in which I like to work, which is a very collaborative kind of way, is helping smooth out some of those challenges, if you like. And of course it's difficult because, you know, not only are you expecting accelerated growth, you're expecting people to work in different ways, and we're still finding our way. Although Andy has been absolutely phenomenal in wanting to work in a collaborative and facilitative way with the leaders of those metropolitan councils, and of course there's going to be difficulties. You know, there are 7 Met leaders, and 5 of them are of a different political persuasion. But the most important thing is to continuously bring it back to, why are we doing this? Why is it important that we're working that different? Why should we work in a different way? And the answer to that is, we all want sustainable economic growth for the residents of the West Midlands in a way in which they can all benefit from that, or all feel that they can reach their potential. So when it gets really tricky, when it gets really difficult, you know, we have to stop and say, okay, why are we doing this? What's important here? And actually, the important thing is that, you know, my family, my friends who still live in the region have the opportunity to really benefit from that, to achieve their potential, that their children can go to the High Speed 2 college and do some really phenomenal stuff, that their children can access some of the great R&D that's coming out of the Centre for Autonomous Vehicles in Coventry, that those people, that those children can potentially see themselves as having a future in some of the fantastic digital creative industries that we want to kind of develop and attract into the region. So we've got to continuously base it on, we are here to deliver good, sound, inclusive economic growth for the residents of this region. And this is the best way to do it. So if you look at the amount of money and powers and freedoms that have come into the region over the last 4 months, it has been quite phenomenal. And those are money and powers that wouldn't ordinarily have come into this region without a combined authority and without a directly elected mayor.
And Whitehall isn't known for its natural devolving instincts. Perhaps it's, you know, it's certainly shown some evidence of that in the last few years. But does that instinct now run deep? Do you think there will be a substantial flow of further powers being pushed down to regional authorities?
You know, we've got a responsibility to continuously demonstrate to government that actually devolving more powers and money to the West Midlands isn't high risk. Actually, further devolution will deliver and represent far faster and more comprehensive economic growth for that region and ultimately for UK PLC. So there's a job for us to do, which is around continuously delivering, continuously capturing interest and investment globally, and delivering for the kind of nation, really, which is really important. But more importantly, above all else, it is about delivering for the residents of that region. So in answer to your question, I think it's a journey both we and central government are on at the moment, and I'm absolutely determined that it will be a journey where we're both going forward hand in hand. That's the only way to do it.
Okay, and you talked about international investment there, and I referred to the ULI Investor Intentions report earlier, and there's good and bad news in that. Birmingham is still the UK's most investable city, but the UK is a much less attractive investment proposition, according to that report, to international investors. Can you see that? Can you see that there has been a dilution of interest in the region internationally?
Not at all. I mean, I think if you look at the amount of FDI into the region, it's been the highest outside London, and we are still experiencing significant interest from overseas investors. And, you know, our presence at MIPIM will be quite significant. We see that as a really important touchstone. But we are talking to investors in the lead up to MIPIM, and we'll continue to do that post MIPIM. So what we're finding is that mediators are really keen to have conversations with us, to say, you know, we have a whole stable of global investors that are interested in the next viable proposition outside London, and they want to come and talk to you. So it's really exciting for us. So we're not feeling that at the moment.
Okay, and a substantial presence at MIPIM, what does that look like?
There'll be a physical presence, but more than that, it will be Andy and I and Gareth being very clear in promoting the West Midlands across the 5 days. It will be about us sharing our offer, and it will be about us closing some of the deals that we're working through over the next 2.5 months.
Okay.
So we will be very visible.
And there will be deals announced at MIPIM, that sounded like.
That's our hope, yes. Yeah, I would like to think that we'll be in a position to be able to do that.
Okay. And again, going back to your role and your ambition, we talked about that sort of 3-year view, but there's a 30-year investment program, $8 billion being put into it. At the end of those 30 years, what does the region look like? I suppose, you know, there has been discussion over the last several years. Is it Birmingham? Is it Manchester? The UK that is the UK second city. Will that argument be over? Will Birmingham and the region's performance relative to London, will that be something that's talked about less and less? Fast forward 30 years' time, what's the message?
I mean, we're not in competition with Manchester and Birmingham. We're not. We can't be. But we are in competition with Bangalore and Baltimore and Boston and Beijing. You know, we live in a global world. And post-Brexit, that will become even more important. There are opportunities for us to work together in terms of the regional mayors and... Sadiq Khan and Andy Burnham are really keen to work with Andy, as he is with them. And I think there are real opportunities for us to look at joining up on certain issues like skills, for example, because it kind of makes sense. But certainly, you know, I wouldn't want us to have to kind of talk about, oh, we're better than Manchester or better about it. It's not about that. It's our focus is on, you know, in 30 years' time, I want residents of the West Midlands to feel really proud, to feel that they've benefited from growth, to feel they've reached their potential, to have a good home to live in, to have good access to further education and skills provision, you know, to be able to see the connectivity that we are delivering in terms of transport infrastructure and broadband and digital, to give them the kind of quality of life that they deserve.
And if HS2 has been a significant catalyst for getting the region, you know, firing on all cylinders again, is there another grand project that you'd like to see over that period that could really kick things on again?
I think that will come out over the next 30 years. And, you know, if you look at what the West Midlands looked like 30 years ago, I mean, it's completely different. It's completely different. And, you know, there's this wonderful statistic, and I can't remember what it is, but it goes something like this, that, something like 60% of the jobs have yet to be invented. I can't remember the expression, but the point of it is that, the world, certainly the world of digital, is so fast changing. And the really important challenge for us is to keep ahead of the curve on all of this and to be really innovative and creative and be able to catch the crest of that wave. So in 30 years time, it will be really different. I would like to see autonomous pods driving in and around the region. I would like, you know, somebody from China to be able to come and invest in that, and for our exports of autonomous vehicles to go through the roof, because the West Midlands is the place globally where we are developing the innovation to deliver that kind of transport mode. So I think the future is really bright. I think it's really exciting. I think we have to be really nimble and keep ahead of that curve. Riding the crest of the wave, but more importantly, keep ahead of that curve and invest in innovation, enable real creativity, and to keep that sense of excitement and delivery that investors want to see and feel in the region.
And in terms of the EG audience, real estate investors, what would you like to see from them? How can they contribute to that success story?
I would like them to continue to be with us on this journey and to see the West Midlands as a really viable investment proposition, but understand that the way in which we want to do it is slightly different, but the offer to them will be far much better. It will be a comprehensive offer that enables them to make their investment and realise their investment in a much quicker and easier way.
Okay, Deborah Cadman, thank you very much. EG will be at MIPIM, of course, covering Birmingham's presence and everyone else's as well. We'll also be in Birmingham on the 27th of February at Birmingham Question Time, and I hope we can hear what the WMCA has planned there as well. But for now, thank you.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.